Thank you, happy welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. We are on the plate on Waiver Wire. So, recapping, of course, baseball action. We had hockey last night, too. The season has begun. Thanks for watching us today and listening, by the way. For those of you who are, I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. The next 2 hours, Fantasy Sports Talk, breaking everything down, previewing the upcoming week in the NFL. Of course, a game tomorrow night, Davis, no doubt. And an exciting finishes yesterday in Major League Baseball. The Houston Astros did take care of business against the Chicago White Sox. So our drafts next year, we'll have to wait to see Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert and Tim Anderson. White Sox are done. And then Freddie Freeman and the Atlanta Braves dismantling the Milwaukee Brewers. Tough, tough series. Tough season for Christian Yelich, too. The number one, two, or three overall pick in fantasy drafts for about 2 or 3 years. My gosh, tough, tough go of it for him, for sure. One game, though, we're going to have a game five between L.A. and San Francisco tomorrow night. The only game in baseball tomorrow night.
We are going to have a game five. You know, Walker Buehler did his job. The lefties on the Dodgers against Escovani did their job. Craig, I was not awake to watch the Giants Dodgers. I mean, I actually saw, funnily enough, a friend of the network, Howie Rose. You know, his daughter does some stuff for us. I saw him, a literal baseball lifer, was talking about these games are just too long, and I was kind of thinking about it, and like, it actually does make sense that postseason baseball games would drag because they jam in every possible commercial that they can get. And baseball has to do what golf does, and they have to integrate commercials into the broadcast, because you cannot have a 3 hour baseball game extended by an hour for commercials, right? Like we know that baseball is having trouble competing for the attention anyways. Like, you cannot have 5 hour baseball games in the playoffs. Are you with me on that?
Yeah. I would also say, though, that after this series is over, you're not going to have any 9 p.m. Eastern starts anymore, and for you 8. But in this case, yes, with the Dodgers and Giants going on playing until 12:30 at night, 1 o'clock, I was not up for it either. But baseball's had a good year as far as ratings are concerned, as far as matchups are concerned, no controversies. It's hard for any of it to happen. It's hard for me to stay up for Monday Night Football, to be honest, even with the game starting at 8 o'clock Eastern. But definitely point well taken, for sure. You are fortunate, though, to be an hour behind me, I would say, on these games. Definitely wish I had that hour. Sometimes I definitely do. All right, here are our headlines. The Astros advance past the White Sox. They're going to play the Red Sox in the American League Championship Series. I know everybody loves that matchup, Houston-Boston. The Atlanta Braves, off a Freddie Freeman home run in the eighth inning, off Josh Hader, no less, advance to the National League Championship Series. And, of course, the Dodgers and Giants, as we mentioned, will play tomorrow night. NHL Open last night, the Tampa Bay Lightning lose to shorthanded Pittsburgh on ring night. That seems to happen a lot. Teams that get the ring, like, lose. Like, I don't know. It seems like that happens a lot in sports. And the Kraken debut, they lose 4-3 to Vegas. Vegas was a huge favorite yesterday. Also, no surprise, the Chiefs place Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the injured list. We're going to talk a ton about waivers today. Most of you getting ready to make moves either today or tomorrow. But no question, last night, the big night for the Atlanta Braves. Not a walk-off shot for Freddie Freeman, but the go-ahead shot that led them now to the National League Championship Series. And Freddie Freeman, who hit the home run, was asked what he was thinking rounding the bases.
There wasn't much going on. I was just hoping I didn't fall over. I had a lot of cool moments in my career, but so far I think that's going to top him right there. But hopefully that's not the last cool one. You know, I got a couple more in these playoffs.
David?
Freddie, what's it been like for you guys to be able to clinch the division at home and then clinch tonight and you hear the chants and all that?
Yeah. A lot better at clinching to go to the NLCS in front of our home fans instead of last year with no fans. So this was well worth it. You know, they came out and supported us on 1 o'clock on a Monday yesterday, and they came out in full force again tonight. Just unbelievable atmosphere. They scored 2 runs. We came back with 2. They scored another 2. We came back. Kind of the testament of our team the last 3-4 years. Just a pretty amazing ball game. Losing Jorge a couple hours before first pitch, and you know, just kind of piled on us this year. You know, but this team showed its resiliency and just came back and, you know, put up a great game.
And Will, at one.
I think Davis, at this point, it's house money for the Braves, right? Like, no Acuna. Ozuna out. Michael Soroka didn't pitch this season. Alex Anthopoulos, friend of the show, goes out, gets Soler from your Royals, gets Escobar from the Twins. I'm sorry, Rosario from the Twins. Gets Adam Duvall from Miami. And, I mean, say what you want. Braves win four more games. They're in the World Series. So, like, a down year for the Braves? Not really. They're right back in the NLCS.
Yeah, and it would... it would be amazing for them to World Series without Ronald Acuna Jr. And we know in baseball, in the playoffs, I mean, literally anything can happen. My Kansas City Royals, despite being basically a bad baseball team, you know, won a World Series because anything can happen in these elimination games. And that's what we like about baseball. I actually think that's like an argument for the popularity of baseball and why the playoffs are so great, because every moment and every at bat is so tense. So yeah, I'm totally with you.
And no baseball tonight for the first time in a while. So we'll take a break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Fantasy Football Week 6 is upon us. We've got a game tomorrow night, so we'll make sure we discuss that as well. Part of what we do here is sort of game theory in terms of fantasy and sort of, you know, rolling through different topics and narratives here in 2021. There is no question about that. And so, Davis, today here on the show, we're going to go over some potential issues that we may be asking ourselves. Is it time to give up on different things? And I think that, Davis, you have to be willing to change your opinion, obviously. I mean, you could still root for being right, but in the end, we're all going to misfire on a lot of things, you know, and certainly you have to be willing to adjust. I mean, fantasy sports is the stock market. Players are up, players are down for many different reasons, performance, off-the-field stuff, and you always have to be, a team stuff too, and you have to be willing to change your opinion on things. And so we'll do a little exercise today and ask that question on the show.
Yeah, you are absolutely right, which is the entire idea behind this segment. You know, you and I, we had lots of time this offseason where we formulated our opinions. You know, I had mine, you had yours, and we agreed on some, didn't agree on others. And these were a lot of opinions, you know, that that I was holding on in the preseason. And I think that, you know, after 5 weeks of data, I think we can at least start to challenge some of our assumptions as it pertains to seasonal fantasy football, daily fantasy football, and, you know, maybe start to change some of our decisions moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's only natural. And really, I think that's what separates the best people in this industry is being willing to change on the opinion. So I'll try to go back in my mind's eye and remember some of the things that you said about this. And if I'm wrong, just correct me on it. But we're going to start off with Antonio Gibson, who, you know, I know that you liked very much. Now, 2 years ago, I hated Antonio Gibson, and I was completely wrong. I just did not think he could be a running back in the NFL with no time, and I was proven just drastically wrong. Now, for this season, he was getting drafted much higher, clearly, than what he did last year, and he was being drafted essentially as an RB1, late first round, second round. And the first 4 weeks of the fantasy football season would have shown that he was nowhere close to that. All of a sudden, the numbers start to pile up here a little bit, and you look at it, Davis, and look, it's not impressive after 5 weeks, that's for sure. The receptions, I know that was a belief of yours coming into the year. That has not transpired with the exception of one very long run, and you can't take that away. It's part of fantasy, but that's just the truth. I think it was like a 60 or 70-yard run. He's got 119 total, 4 touchdowns, and then a lot of that piled on this past week. But there's still a lot of season to play. And certainly you can't really replace Antonio Gibson if you drafted him. You're still playing him no matter what. There's just no one to replace him. But the idea that J.D. McKissic was going to go away does not appear to be happening. Maybe, Davis, you still feel that it will. So the question is it time to give up on Gibson as, let's say, an RB1 in fantasy, which, I mean, is really tough to do given the amount of injuries there are in the NFL.
So sadly, I do think the idea that Antonio Gibson is this elite fantasy asset that is going to help us win championships, I think does look wrong. Now, Gibson will be fine. You know, you don't have to trade him away for nothing. You don't have to bench him, anything like that. But the idea that Gibson is going to play that Christian McCaffrey role in the Ron Rivera, Scott Turner offense. It's just false, right? I mean, JD McKissick is running more routes. He's earned more targets. And Gibson is getting some goal line work, but basically he is playing the same role that he was in last year. The problem is that role on a Washington football team that's not very good. The defense has been bad. Heinicke's been bad. You know, they're just losing games left, right, and center. It's just not as valuable of a role as we imagined, which is a bummer, right? That's just straight up. It's just a bummer that Gibson is not going to be that guy for us this season. It does not look like.
Well, what's interesting is that you were probably the least bullish on Washington of anybody, but the most bullish on Gibson, you know?
On Gibson, and like, yeah.
Right? And those two things, you know, are sort of separate stories on the season. But, you know, defense is obviously a huge factor with Washington and the way that they play, for sure. Okay, let's go over to the Dallas Cowboys. Time to give up on the Cowboys as a pass-first team. 175 pass attempts, 163 rushing attempts. But really the interesting storyline here, Davis, is something that has kind of progressed since last year, which is the emergence. I mean, at least I think this, which is if this is true, giving up on them as a pass first team, which, by the way, I'm not 100% sure on, is the emergence of Tony Pollard. I mean, that's part of this conversation, because the rush attempts are 163 for a reason, because without looking, I can tell you he's got 30 of them or 40 of them. So that was not something that happened in 2018, in 2017, and not really in 2019 either. But that became a thing last year that has moved into this season. And as well as Zeke has played, Pollard is still getting his. So is it time to give up on the Cowboys as a pass first team?
You know, so this is like true and false. So I think that in games where they are having to, you know, compete, right, where these games are sort of close. We already saw this happen in one game, right? Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Dak Prescott throws it 52 times. Zeke has, I think, 8 rushing attempts in that game. But every game since then, against the Chargers, against the Eagles, against the Panthers, Dak throws fewer than 28 times, 32 passing attempts against the Giants. And unfortunately, the Cowboys defense is just good now, right? And that was kind of the big fly in the ointment, is the Cowboys defense was so bad in the preceding seasons that it seemed like Dallas was going to have to throw 40 times every single game. And unfortunately, their schedule does not really get that much harder. They play the Patriots, they play the Vikings, they play the Broncos, and they play the Falcons. They're going to be favored by a touchdown probably in all of those games. Now they are going to get, you know, they do play the Chiefs, they do play the Cardinals a little bit later in the season. But I think the idea that the Cowboys are going to set all of these offensive records, Dak going to throw for 6,000 yards, you know, all these crazy things, that's totally dead, because they're just a much more functional, complete NFL team now.
Yeah, the defense, I still don't think their defense is like top 10, but it was the worst. So yes, so I mean it's a massive jump for them to be even in the middle of the pack. And I really hate to break it to you, Davis, this is going to be a very disappointing week when New England beats Dallas this week. I know you don't want to hear it. I know you don't think it is possible. The line is, wow, weird line for that game this week.
I could see the Patriots covering. The Patriots could cover.
Yeah, but you said a touchdown or more. Did you see what the line is?
What is it, like 9.5?
4.
Wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah, that's where the shift in thinking starts to begin. All right, TJ Hockenson, who had a phenomenal year last year, 24 receptions this year, 237 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns. Yuck, that's not what we expected for sure. And Davis, he had a career high in every single phase last season, on the field for the most games, most targets, most yards, most touchdowns. And a lot of it, of course, is a factor of having Stafford. But you know what I heard in the preseason? I heard that because Jared Goff was there, he loves the tight end, he's going to throw to Hockenson. Not so much this year. Detroit's just not good. Hockenson, time to give up on him as an elite tight end. Sorry, only 30 seconds.
The offense is just not good enough, right? That is the huge problem, is that Hockenson, and also his volume has been down. So yeah, I mean, we after 2 games we were all in, but I'm out now.
Yeah, and there's still time for him, I think, to make up for it. But Goff is just not good enough to make him what he was. Waiver wire's next. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Who are some of those quarterbacks you think that you would target this week?
Yeah, so if you are trying to replace Russell Wilson, maybe you scooped up Trey Lance last week and you were hoping to see him run wild. I definitely think there are a couple worthwhile guys, though I will say most weeks on the waiver wire, you're going to have some slightly better options than this, but just a weird slate of games that we have this week. But the obvious guy, I think, is Taylor Heinicke. He is, of course, the Washington football team quarterback. He is going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Everyone at this point, right, we know how bad the Kansas City Chiefs defense is. They give it up to everyone. Everyone scores 30 points on the Chiefs. I mean, I very much hope the Kansas City Chiefs do not lose this game, but the Washington football team has a 24.5 point team total. Heinicke gives us a little bit of rushing upside. I feel like a lot of the time here, he probably grinds out like a minimum of 15 points, and I don't see any reason that he can't get up to 25. Next up is your guy. Well, actually not your guy, but the Miami Dolphins quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. So early this week, Brian Flores said they're hopeful that he is playing. Craig, if I'm correct, this is the London game. So he is traveling with the team. He is eligible to return off the designated for return IR. It's become very fashionable to kind of crap on the Dolphins right now. I remain more optimistic than the market on them. I think Tua is much better than Jacoby Brissett. I think Brian Flores is a good coach. Don't love the removal of Will Fuller from the offense. I thought that was going to be a big addition for them. But I think that Tua is better than the market thinks. And, I mean, how bad is Jacksonville? They're the worst. They're the worst. And then Sam Darnold against Minnesota, basically you're just kind of hoping he runs for a touchdown, which he has 5 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was doing a stream last night, and Darnold came up, Davis. And to me, that was the most frustrating game of the week. We talked about this on Monday with Carolina, where, we give so much credit to Carolina's coaching staff with Rhule and Brady there. And do you think that last week was just a blip for Darnold? I know he hasn't been great through 4 weeks, but if he starts playing like that again, Carolina has a huge problem on their hands. Like, we didn't know at the beginning of the season if that Darnold was going to be the guy, or if it's the Darnold that we saw the first 4 weeks. And also, let me add this. Carolina last season, this script, I hope it doesn't happen, but this is sort of what happened to Teddy Bridgewater, too, in Carolina last year. Started off real good. Oh, my gosh, Bridgewater's going to be good. He's in Carolina. And then all of a sudden, it started to dip. Now, McCaffrey was out, and that was part of it. I wonder if that's part of the reason. I'm not sure, but this, to me, is the game in the circle to see if Darnold is legitimately startable the rest of the year in fantasy. If he throws another dud up this week, I got to be worried.
Well, he's definitely not going to be an every week starter. You know, I think there is a 0% chance that Sam Darnold finishes the year as a top 12 quarterback. It just is not going to work out that way. But he's got a little bit of running upside. And I think that in, good matchups against bad defenses, I think he's fine. He also has, the big advantage that Darnold is going to have is he's got two guys in DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey who can add value after the catch. So, Sam Darnold does a jet sweep pass to DJ Moore and he runs off for a 65-yard touchdown. They're on the 4-yard line and they run a screen for Christian McCaffrey. And, McCaffrey makes like 4 amazing juke moves and shoulders off a defender and boom, 6 points for Sam Darnold. So, I don't think Darnold is great, but like, I would rather have Darnold this week than, Derek Carr, probably even rather than Justin Fields, because they're not letting Justin Fields run at all. So I do think Darnold is a fine bye week replacement here.
All right, now let's move over to tight ends on the waiver wire this week. If you're looking to replace potentially George Kittle or Kyle Pitts or someone like that, there are some decent names that are out there this week, and in the right matchup, maybe they will help. Ricky Seals-Jones of Washington is in Kansas City. Dan Arnold to me is maybe a must pickup for all the wrong reasons. This Urban Meyer just keeps glowing and glowing and glowing about Dan Arnold, and they wanted to get him in the offseason, and look at the targets that this guy is getting. It is out of control. They play in London against Miami. I don't think Zach Ertz is on the waiver wire anyway, but we got him here against Tampa Bay. I think most people own him at this point. Cameron Braid against Philadelphia. Rob Gronkowski is out this week. And then David Njoku had a career game last week, and he's going to be looking to do something similar, I guess, this week against Arizona. So let's touch on those.
Well, Zach Ertz actually is under 50% owned on Yahoo. Now, granted, serious leagues, FFPC leagues, you know, main event, stuff like that, of course, he is definitely owned, but he is going to be a very hot pickup this week. Dallas Goedert is on the COVID list. Zach Ertz is second on the Eagles in targets anyways. Levante David is out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so he would be the number one. I agree with you. This Urban Meyer crap, I mean, boy, do I hate Urban. I mean, he's got to go like yesterday. And I think the only reason he has not been fired is because the Jacksonville Jaguars owner, Shad Khan, he just doesn't want to admit that he made a mistake. And I believe he paid Urban a ton of money, and I think he just doesn't want to to be on the hook for all that money for two coaches. But Dan Arnold led the team in targets last week, led the team in receiving yards. I think it's terrible. You know, clearly they need to be dedicated. You saw that LaVisca Chenault play. He like breaks four tackles and run. I mean, it's just incredible. And they're giving Tavon Austin and Dan Arnold all these targets. But Dan Arnold, they traded for him a fourth round pick. They are using him. Even before Dan Arnold was the tight end, they were targeting James O'Shaughnessy and Luke Farrell and Chris Manhertz. So the tight end is a part of this Daryl Bevel offense. But actually, the number one tight end pickup is clearly Ricky Seals-Jones. So since Logan Thomas got injured 2 weeks ago, Ricky Seals-Jones has been on the field for every Washington football team snap except for one. He had eight targets last week. Two of them came in the end zone, were almost touchdowns, and he had a 45-yard play called back by a really ticky-tacky illegal formation penalty. So Ricky Seals-Jones, I think, is not only a streamer, but like a good ad going forward in general. Cameron Brate has played about 75% of the snaps since Gronk's got injured. Seems like Gronk is going to come back next week, but he's a good ad. And then Njoku, I mean, Odell Beckham just does not exist. He got three targets in a game that 90 points got scored in last week. Njoku is the most dynamic pass catcher for the Cleveland Browns. So how do you leave him on the waiver wire right now?
No, and I think that he is, you know, look, if he got that many targets, there's no reason that shouldn't stop. Arizona's defense did play well last week against San Francisco, but again, no Kittle. It was Lance. It was sort of a weird game. I talked about this yesterday. I felt like Kingsbury just shut everything down. You know, the other thing I wanted to ask here, we'll get to this with Arizona. Did Kyler Murray get hurt in that game last week, Davis? Like, I was doing a show with Bender last night. He mentioned something about that. I mean, I thought I watched that whole game, and I didn't see that.
Yeah, I watched that game as well. I don't see him listed on the injury report with anything. That doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't mean that he didn't come up, you know, rubbing his shoulder or whatever after a play. I love Kyler Murray, but he's 5'9", 205 pounds. Like, he's really small. He's a running quarterback. He's been hurt every year of his NFL career. He looks great every single year. And then what's happened every year of his career, he takes a shot to the ribs, takes a shot to the shoulder, dings his ankle up, and he looks a little bit more human. So I hope that's not true. I guess while we're talking about tight ends, Max Williams had been crushing for the Arizona Cardinals, and he is on the season-ending injured reserve. Looks like he did his cruciate ligament. I wonder if they trade for someone. Or they have, do you remember Demetrius Harris? He used to play for the Chiefs, spent a year with the Chicago Bears. He was the guy who came in for Max Williams after last week. I mean, 16-team league, stuff like that. I do play in a couple 16-team leagues, maybe throw a couple bucks at him. But the huge fantasy implication there is Rondale Moore should be, they should have four wide receiver sets now. It's going to be Rondale Moore time.
Yeah, I think with Arizona, Davis, the interesting part for me is that you mentioned Max Williams. I thought Max Williams was going to be a star out of the University of Minnesota. I know Baltimore took him in the first round. I was very high on him. He's moved around the league. Isn't it interesting that when you think about it, the Cardinals in the last decade, have they had any viable tight ends? I think that they have the worst fantasy tight ends in the last 10 years over any other team in football. Almost impossible to find a guy.
Yeah, I mean, now that you mention it, I'm trying to think of, like, the last Cardinals tight end who was, like, usable in fantasy. Because if you go back and remember the Carson Palmer was there, they didn't really have anyone who was usable then. I mean, even more than 10 years ago, I can't – Rob Housler, maybe you could have played a little – I mean – dude, it's been, it literally probably has been, yeah, it's been before my lifetime since the Cardinals have had a good tight end. That's so weird. Like how random is that an organization could have zero fantasy usable players at a position for, like, different coaches, different quarterbacks and everything?
Yeah, I mean, my go-to, and I was at the game, would be, okay, so who was the tight end when they went to the Super Bowl, right? Because usually they have somebody. Kurt Warner was the quarterback of Arizona when they went to the Super Bowl. But it was Larry Fitzgerald, right? That's who it was. Maybe that's a part of it is Fitzgerald was eating so much of the middle part of the field that they never went to that, and he's been on the team for 10 years. Waiver wire running back coming up next. We'll also hit on wide receivers. So stay on the grid. More fantasy sports today is coming up. We'll help you waiver wire Wednesday get on some running backs right after the two-minute break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Make sure you go over to Twitter and follow us there at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, and information. All the things that we're doing here on our great channel, 18 hours a day of live coverage. You can find clips of the early line, the morning after our show here, Fantasy Sports Today, Scott Farrell, Gabe Morency. All the things we're talking about you can find on our social media channels at SportsGrid and at Sports Grid TV. Well, Davis, we got some running backs to pick up this week in fantasy. I hit that waiver wire this morning. I was up early, 7 a.m. I know that my waiver is going to run tomorrow. I'm like, okay, got a lot of fab budget, haven't had to make a lot of moves. I think I'm going to go ahead and take the plunge here this week. Just got to make the right choice here. So I want to walk through this here a little bit. Now, I can't believe Darrell Williams was owned in the leagues that I went to this morning. I was shocked, but Darrell Williams at the top here. He's going to get the first crack at things for Washington. I'd love to get your opinion on the other running back that they have there. McKinnon is the other one. Devontae Booker is the one that I let loose on, using about 20% of the budget on him against the Rams. I figure he's playing 2 weeks. Ramondre Stevenson, I put in a backup bid on just in case I don't get Booker. And then we have Khalil Herbert, who may be even startable this week against Green Bay. And then Samaje Perine, if for some reason Joe Mixon can't play or is only playing at 50%, I thought Perine looked really good. I don't know how, but he did look really good last week at Detroit. So I think we got a nice buffet of waiver wire running backs to talk about here, Davis.
Yeah, we have this will probably be one of the most active weeks on the running back waiver wire that we see all year. Now, I have gone through the waiver wire for, you know, my high stakes leagues. I've done them this morning. Darrell Williams, Devonta Booker, Ramondre, they're P. Ryan, you know, they're all going to be added. But in, you know, your 12-team, 16-man roster waiver wire, I think a lot of these guys are going to be available. For me, Darrell Williams has got to be the number one guy here. And in fact, I actually think it's going to be one of those situations where Darrell Williams might even have a more valuable role for the Kansas City Chiefs than Clyde Edwards-Helaire would have. And you might hear that and you go, Davis, you're full of crap. There's no way that can be true. But Daryl and CH were basically in a timeshare after the first 2 weeks. So starting in that Chargers game, Daryl had 7 rushing attempts and 3 targets, 34% of the snaps. Against Philadelphia, he played 36% of the snaps, 10 carries, 42 yards, and a rushing touchdown, and got targeted twice in the passing game. And then after Clyde Edwards-Helaire got injured in the Buffalo Bills game, Daryl Williams played 24 snaps to Jerick McKinnon's 8 snaps. Daryl would be the number one guy I would add this week. I would anticipate him playing, both third downs and at the goal line. Now, McKinnon is definitely worth an add as well. You know, if both of those guys are available, I think you could go 20 to 35% of your budget on Daryl Williams, 5 to 10% on Jerick McKinnon. If you get both of them, good. If you get one of them, that's good too. I for example, I would rather have Jerick McKinnon right now, especially if I was like a 2-3 team. I'd rather have him than someone like Trey Sermon, someone we're kind of hoping on. Booker, he's going to be playing on a bad team and in terrible matchups, right? You know, they play, I believe the Giants play, they play the Rams this week, and then I think they have another difficult matchup next week. But he's going to play about 80% of the snaps. If you want to get very sneaky, you could put some $1 bids on Elijah Penny or on Gary Brightwell. I don't know if you remember this, Craig. Yes. Last year, Saquon Barkley got injured. Then Wayne Gallman got a concussion. So then we were using Elijah Penny. So it's just like, it feels like when it rains, it pours with these backfield guys. I think about 15% on Ramondre. Pirine is interesting. He landed on the COVID list immediately after that Bengals game. Apparently on Sunday night, he got put on the COVID list. But I thought you were right. He looked really good against the Packers. He had 4 receptions, was playing more on passing downs than Mixon. All 5 of these guys absolutely need to be picked up in all 12 team leagues.
Yeah. Going back to McKinnon for a minute. So the timeline for him, if I'm not mistaken, was very good running back on Minnesota. Signs a free agent contract with San Francisco. Hurt immediately, if I'm not mistaken. Never plays, right? Does he ever play for San Francisco? And then did he play with Washington or something, or just not? Like, has he played at all in the last 3 years?
So actually, Jerick McKinnon crushed for 3 games last year for the San Francisco 49ers. After the first 3 weeks of the season, Jerick McKinnon was like the running back 8 in fantasy. He had like 15 catches, had like 3 touchdowns. And then if you remember, they were, every year it feels like we do this with the 49ers running backs. They have all these injuries. They're playing Jeff Wilson Jr. They're playing Jamichael Hasty, all these guys we've never heard of. And McKinnon was active in playing in those games, but he was, according to The Athletic, I believe it was Matt Mascasio who reported this, McKinnon's legs were dead. He was suffering from dead leg. Like his like muscles could not get activated. So he could only play like 10 snaps a game, which was one of the reasons why I thought it was weird. The Chiefs signed him was one of the reasons why I was drafting Daryl Williams ahead of Jerick McKinnon. But I mean, I guess he's still kind of a passing down guy. You are right though. From 2017 until 2020, he was not able to play because he tore his ACL in 2018 and in 2019. Yeah. He did it twice.
Yeah, and then as far and who is this third running back on the Giants that you mentioned? The rookie. I've seen some talk about him this week too.
Yeah, Gary Brightwell. So he played at Arizona in college. I mean, was not really anything particularly special. 10 total touchdowns in college, 19 total receptions. Like not a guy we would be rushing out to add. But I mean, look, if when it rains it pours and Devonta Booker turns his ankle on the second snap this week for the Giants, you're probably going to want to own Brightwell, because Elijah Penny, we've seen them do this before, but Elijah Penny is just a fullback. He weighs like 245 pounds. I think he got 1 carry this last week. It's like the same bid as Khalil Herbert last week. We talked about Herbert last week as like a guy behind the guy, but that's kind of where you need to be heading in fantasy football.
I think I saw that Booker was played more than any other running back in the NFL last week once he came into the game for Barkley. So, I mean, that has to at least bode well. I think they paid him decent money, too. I think he was got a two-year deal or something from that. Look, maybe he plays the rest of the year. I mean, who knows? But, yes, I think all of those names are very viable. All right, wide receivers, Kadarius Toney, if he's still on the waiver wire, he's a must-add this week. Amon-Ra St. Brown seems to be emerging in Detroit. Josh Gordon, I will leave out there for Kansas City against Washington. Rashad Bateman, we could see maybe his first real playing time this week against the Chargers. Donovan Peoples-Jones for Cleveland, why not, against Arizona. And then, hey, Tavon Austin back on the map here, former Ram, taking on the Miami Dolphins in London. I got burned last week by Zaccheaus. I'm not going back to another London wide receiver this week.
Yeah, so I think, again, weirdly, a good week on the waiver wire for wide receivers. You know, if Kadarius Toney is somehow out there in your league, I mean, I would be dropping lots of people for Kadarius Toney. He looked phenomenal, had a huge target share, I think a 36% target share. Does sound like Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard are going to be back this week, but I don't care at all. Like, my opinion is you don't put the genie back in the bottle with a performance like that. Like, you don't see Kadarius Toney go off for he had 10 receptions for 189 yards, 13 targets. He had a passing attempt and he had a wildcat snap inside the 10-yard line where they tried to have him run for a touchdown. So I think that once that has happened, you don't go back to him playing behind Sterling Shepard. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he is going to be a beneficiary of Quintez Cephas breaking his collarbone, probably going to be out for the year. Tyrell Williams remains on the IR, has not been activated yet. Actually, Amon-Ra St. Brown was a pretty good college player. He doesn't, I don't think, have like a great position in the NFL because he's not really big enough to be an outside wide receiver, not really fast enough to be a slot wide receiver. But on a team like the Lions, I don't really think that it matters, you know, because they just kind of need guys. And he's probably better than like Khalif Raymond and Trinity Benson. So I could see him being like a 6 or 7 target guy kind of for the remainder of the season. I know that you are not in on Josh Gordon. I'm not really in on him either. But this is what my conjecture on him. Josh Gordon was not signed to replace Mecole Hardman or Tyreek Hill or anything like that. They just need someone capable of making plays instead of DeMarcus Robinson, because DeMarcus Robinson, I love you. Look, you've been a part of these Chiefs teams that have won Super Bowls and everything, but he's a traffic cone. He adds nothing. He can't run block. He's not fast. He can't catch. He can't get open. He can't do anything. They need someone with some dynamism or some skill to play instead of DeMarcus Robinson. And I think that is what they want Josh Gordon to do eventually. Rashad Bateman, absolute must add this week. This will be your last chance to add him if he got dropped in your league. I think that this Baltimore Chargers game has the potential to rival what happened in that Chargers-Browns game from last week. Lamar is playing the best year. Lamar is playing amazing. You know, you replace James Proche and Devin Duvernay with Rashad Bateman. It's going to make them even better. Donovan Peoples-Jones, best game of the season last week, 7 targets, runs more routes, and is targeted more than Odell Beckham. And I can't believe we're here, Craig, but Tavon Austin actually ran the most routes on the Jacksonville Jaguars last week and had the most receptions and most yards of any of the wide receivers. I don't like it any more than you do. Deep 12-team leagues, 14-team leagues. Tavon is their slot wide receiver now. They move LaVisca Chenault to the outside. Tavon is the slot guy. I hate it. I think it's bad, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, counting on knowing what's going to happen in Jacksonville is impossible. I have a feeling, Davis, now that I'm looking, I didn't know Cephas was out for the year or close to that, by the way. I must have missed that. But I would say this, there are going to be a lot of people, I'm telling you now, will be sitting here the week of Thanksgiving, and people will be starting Amon-Ra St. Brown on Thanksgiving Day. I know it is coming. I like that. That is the name. I can see it now, getting ready for us to preview Thanksgiving Day shows and trying to figure out who to play in that game. And yeah, we're going to be there pretty soon for sure. So, all right, interesting names there. Wide receiver, some thoughts for those of you potentially to pick up. So make sure that, by the way, you check that out. And also, don't forget, that our fantasy coverage continues each and every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. It is myself, along with Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker. We do a two-hour fantasy show that basically previews season-long leagues and also gives you information in terms of daily fantasy sports. So that is every Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern right here on Sports Grid. We'll take a quick time out here on the show. We've got Chris with the update, of course, coming up in just a few minutes. And then we'll hear from Mookie Betts and Walker Buehler of the Los Angeles Dodgers. LA is headed back to San Francisco for a game five tomorrow night. So Thursday night should be awesome. We got college football, we got pro football, we got hockey, and we have game five of the Dodgers and Giants. So great week ahead of us for sure. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today in just a couple of minutes. Stay on the grid. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. The Houston Texans look like they're going to place Davis Laremy Tunsil, their left tackle, on injured reserve. Tunsil, good tackle, no question. Probably not as good as Houston thought they were getting when they traded away their entire future for Laremy Tunsil. What's interesting about that trade, Davis, when you think about it now, though, and look, Miami was able to get Waddle out of it, and they were able to get to and it looked like that this was a, it goes back, but the Herschel Walker trade. I don't know if you heard it, when basically Dallas traded Herschel Walker to Minnesota. Minnesota gave them picks for the rest of their life, and they went on Dallas to draft every great player and win Super Bowl after Super Bowl. You know, this is sort of still a TBD here. I mean, we think maybe Tua's good, and we think maybe Waddle is good, and we think maybe some of these weapons that Miami got are good, but Houston may get out of this and look back and say, you know, it's a terrible trade, still shouldn't have done it, but Miami's got to take advantage of this situation by getting all those picks. There's a funny statue. Somebody put a statue of Laremy Tunsil outside of the Dolphins stadium, like a fake statue, just of how big it was. Tunsil actually liked the tweet, too. He thought it was funny.
Well, I definitely don't have the same view of it as you, because I mean, you evaluate the trade at the time, not on the players. And if I just told you, you're going to get a first round wide receiver from Alabama, you're going to get a first round quarterback from Alabama, you're like, yep, I do that trade 100 times out of 100. You're like, yep, take Laremy Tunsil. We'll do that. 100% of the time. And Waddle, I think, is going to be really good. Maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I'm a big Jalen Waddle guy.
Yeah, I hope so. It's better for sports when your team that you live in, the market is good. It makes everybody more interested. Unfortunately, between the Marlins season and now the Dolphins season, everyone's sort of looking forward to the Panthers and Heat. All right, we've got Chris at the top of the hour, and then we will have our own headlines. We'll also talk about the bye weeks coming up in the NFL this week and who you could be playing in terms of fantasy. Stay on the grid. Break.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more.
Every day.
You see a trend?